You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Joost Grotens. Now we're talking.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the Integrated 2015 conference in Antwerp, Belgium. It's November 26, 2015, and our guest is Joost Grotens. Welcome.
Thank you.
We have a first question. You just said you listened to Type Radio before, so you probably know the first question that we ask. Are you religious?
No.
That was fast.
Yeah, that was fast.
The,
yeah.
the short answer.
Okay. And do you have rituals?
I mistrust rituals, so I try. So probably I have them, but if I, as soon as I become aware of them, I try to get rid of them. Maybe if I have a ritual, is that I prefer sketching in the last half an hour of the working day, because when you're about to go home, then quickly make a sketch and next day, look at it. I don't believe in inspiration. I think you should just do it. But I believe in analysis. So I, with my mind somewhere else, I make sketches, and the next day, I analyze them.
So the whole day, what do you do the rest of the day?
I work. But if I start a new project, and I have to sketch, I think it's something you easily push forward, and I think if you should just do it. So I do it at the end of the day. I just notice it's nice. It's when you're not there anymore, and then sketch it. Yeah.
Is it also to sort of get something like the end of the day to sort of to clean yourself and sort of get rid of stuff that you're dealing with?
There's no spiritual kind of reason otherwise.
I was hoping for that.
Yeah. No.
All right.
And I prefer to sketch on. If it's digital sketching, it doesn't matter, but if it's paper sketching or analog, then I prefer to sketch on leftover prints. So that's already had a use before, so it's not fresh white paper.
So that is a ritual.
That's a ritual, yeah. I confess.
we got you.
Okay. Probably at the end of the talk, I'm religious as well, so.
Yeah. At the end of it, you'll start.
That's
anyway.
You're known for the infographic kind of way of designing. Has that always been the case? Have you always had a sort of an analytical view on the design process? Or did that come later? Or was that sort of an insight that came later?
I think it's something that comes natural to me, and I've always did in the past. Originally trained as an architectural designer, so I'm not a graphic designer by training. I'm self-taught, and this zooming in and zooming out, that was very natural for an architect to go from the meta level to the detail. That's kind of a natural thing for me. That I noticed that it's for me more natural than most people in my studio, for instance. So this analytical thinking it's always been there. Yeah. So I found a medium to express it best in, yeah.
Sorry, I know you've been asked a million times before, but as it's Type Radio, we have to go through that. But why did you give up architecture?
I just thought that the representation of architecture was more interesting than bricks or than building. So I thought the choices that architects make in how they show their projects when they are unbuilt or when they are built. So when they're unbuilt, the drawings that they make, how they express the future building, or when it's building is done, how they choose the photographer to represent it. The kind of strategy and the political thinking about it is much more interesting than just putting one brick on another. Mm-hmm. So that's why I moved from thinking about architecture to thinking about representing architecture to representing architecture.
But then why a book? It could be film. I mean, how did you make that choice?
Well, I didn't. And at the beginning, I graduated in the mid-90s, so that was the day and age when multimedia was up and coming. So my graduation project was, one of the graduation projects was a multimedia presentation. So it's macromedia director and sound and animation and interaction. And I explored that for a few years, and I noticed that in my work, the colors went black and white. There's very little interaction, little movement. It became much more sober in a way, not as outrageous. Because I think that was kind of what we did in the 90s. We just explored everything, and then when I grew up, after a few years, it became much simpler. And at one point, somebody asked me, could you make a book? Because they thought I was a graphic designer. I said, okay. And when I did the first book, it felt like coming home. It felt so good. I said, well, this is what, and then I thought, I want to be a book designer. So I quit. I never did any multimedia project after. And it became books.
And when you look at, what do you think of this book now when you look back?
Oh, it's terrible. It's not completely terrible, but if I look back now, I feel very embarrassed about the typography, because that's something I was struggling with for a long time. And I always now, if I have people in my studio, I think it's one of the most important things I check if they have a kind of sensitivity for typography, and that's, I think it's, I see that I had a kind of, if it's about rhythm in a book or the finding the balance on the page, that I had that already a bit, but type really sucked.
But that's a kind of a development that you go through, and you realize that it's much more important, and involving type in the work is like essential. So, is it always like something like that sort of that pushes you? That push you, or do you have to sort of push yourself to explore new things or new mythologies or ways of analyzing?
For each new project, I've always had, was kind of conscious about my hidden agenda in the project. So it was about, of course, answering the question of the commissioner and about the commission, but also what could I learn from it? And it could be, now I want to explore a different size, now I want to explore different kind of ink use, or so I was talking to someone in the studio. I said, okay, well, I know that we use purple yellow combination a lot, and it works really well, but maybe we shouldn't do it for the this project. So then we're going to use pink or whatever. I think that's the easiest example to give, but it can also be the typefaces. So for me, every project is also a challenge to ourselves.
And because you can sort of basically how you work, because I've been thinking about it, is you can apply it to anything.
Yes.
Basically anything that has data, you can sort of apply it to. And so you get commissioned for projects and books and stuff to do that. That sort of forces you to go into something that you don't know anything about, or like not that much. But I can also imagine that you choose your projects just because out of your own interest. What I'm saying is, like, the difference between self-initiated stuff and is there a difference, or is it like the same interest?
We don't do that much self-initiated projects. I find enough challenges and satisfaction from doing projects, commissions, basically. So there's always something to discover there. As the time went by and we developed a kind of clear kind of profile as a studio, we got the people coming to us who connected. So it's often also nowadays that we connect with people, and it becomes more than a project. It becomes another project, or it becomes a friendship, or it becomes... So that,
are there books that you would, or commissions you would say no to?
With the atlases, I'm very critical on atlases, what I do, because I've done a few, and they are kind of very time-consuming. So I sometimes, I now say, I'm much more reluctant of saying yes. Also, because I'm really afraid of being typecasted. Okay, he's the atlas guy, and of course, I will probably always be the atlas guy, but... And still, so that's, we are really critical of that. And now if I already expect that it will not work, if the kind of approach doesn't work, or the kind of then I say maybe we shouldn't do it.
And that's right from the start, right? Or it's not like halfway through.
No, I never say if I say yes, I say yes. Yeah.
You finish your job.
So the, for example, the dictionary that you presented today, that's, I mean, if you say you look back in the first book and regarding typography, it was terrible. I mean, a dictionary is the almost the ultimate.
That was also the challenge about it. That was a fantastic project to work on many levels. And also, I realized that it's with the atlas, I had this chance to build it up. So the first was a kind of atlas that was not that good, and then slowly you build up, and then but I know that if you got this one, and that's the Dikke van Thale, so it's also immediately is the ultimate thing. So in one project you should have get anything, you should just and learn the type, the typology of the dictionary, and you should succeed in making it a good dictionary. You should artistically be happy about the project, financially it should work. And as we are at the end of certain kind of book types, and the dictionary is a book type that you could expect will not be printed again, it's also the last chance to do anything with the dictionary. Mm-hmm. So and that kind of pressure was really interesting and it was really felt. So I wanted to show for a last time what you could do with a book.
And that's what I was curious about. Do you ever receive a commission that you say, I don't think this should be a book? Like, that it's, what is the necessity of it? Is that something you ever question?
Yes, yeah. So, somehow the book still has a status. People like it. They like the it. It's never been uncool to have to make a book. It was been for a while. It was been maybe uncool to have a website, but it's never been uncool to have a book somewhere, to have a book of something. So and then again, I feel now because there's so much information around us, we are surrounded with this flow of information, that to step out of the flow and to make something which is frozen, which is still, which is we have a bigger need than ever to make books in that sense. And I'm very interested in the book types that seemingly that you wonder should they still be made. So that let's say the atlas is also, of course, why should you still make an atlas in the age of Google Earth? Why should you still make a dictionary in the age of online services? Why should you still make encyclopedia? I feel that these books have a different role now, that they are both, they all have the kind of a cultural obligation to be made. It's a cultural product, and that's how I also work on them. I try to, so not purely for functionality, it should also have a kind of a cultural kind of satisfaction in reading the book or holding it.
So the dictionary, like you said, for example, could be the last Van Thale dictionary that's printed. The other thing is, I mean, there is an extreme amount of accuracy. I'm wondering if sometimes, you know, you say, okay, it's an atlas, nobody's going to see that island, you know, accidentally delete, or I could go, I mean, I know you wouldn't want to say this on radio, but how do you sleep at night? What happens if you have accidentally deleted something and you're like panicking that everything is there? I mean, the checks or...
Yeah, that's not the reason why I don't sleep, let's say, for the first thing. There are other reasons for not sleeping.
not
missing an island or pushing a border too much to the left or to the right.
Have you done that?
I probably have. I'm immediately getting... I feel it's more important that things look exact than that they necessarily are exact, because that's fitting to the that's more important for the book, I think. You all. So I like detail. I like that it should feel that it's kind of that we push as far as possible, but still is possible to print. So we go really thin with the lines that we use, and we go as the patterns that I use are not the standard computer, but we design up to the level of the pattern, of the pixel almost, or the print raster. I think that's great. I think it's also every book you make is about making a book. It's about ink, it's about paper, it's about celebrating the printing process. So that's what I try to do in the books. I don't know. I think I'm answering a different question maybe now.
You're avoiding the answer. Like, where? Which border have you moved? No, I'm joking. No, I was just always curious. I mean, did you ever receive a letter saying I'm missing?
Like, yes, there's always people, but that's with every book. And it's also the thing, if I made a book and it comes back from the printer, there's this first nervous half an hour of leafing through it and finding the mistake. Because you know there's a mistake, and even if you worked on it for 5 years, and then okay, I found it. I know it's, and then, okay, up to the next one to make it perfect again, yeah.
But then you'll probably make another one. Do you always also have that some clients would sort of half and half triumphantly call you up and say, I found a mistake?
Then the clients are never triumphant. They're always kind of quite stressed. How is this possible?
And are they blaming you for it?
Occasionally, yes, it happens.
But I'm thinking, with such an enormous mass of data, I mean, you're bound to make a mistake. I mean, we're only humans, and especially because sort of what you say, it's not shocking, but it's sort of kind of revealing that you say it has to look accurate more than actually be. So the outward, the appearance of accuracy is more important than actual accuracy.
In the project.
So if you want to make a book that is very accurate, then it becomes probably a very boring book. And I think I also want to play with that book is attractive, is sexy, is nice to hold, and the fact that all the things that we do are for a reason, or they fit the system. So probably making a very exact, accurate book will be a project that you wouldn't care about. But to make something that you care about, that you want to hold, that you and to almost with a gut feeling that to work on that, I think that's also something that I try. In my case, I often do it with color, so that it's the colors are always outrageous. Then they're never there for, they always have a kind of specific reason. It's never just. So it's always very systematically done, but I think it's the point is interesting where you play with this kind of beauty and exactness. So if something is exact, can it still be beautiful? Or beauty and a topic that is kind of terrible. Content-wise, it's a tricky one. Can you make something which is content-wise ugly beautiful? And the tension you get between that. So today. I also showed the newspaper page that we made on the IS, the destruction. So basically, it's a page about destruction. But I think I also want to make it beautiful, that page, because then you get the attention and you grab the reader's eye, and then they are longer interested to read it. So I think it's always interesting to find that edge.
Do your parents know and understand what you do and how you work and what you do?
They know what I do. They're very proud. So my father is I think that was the best example. There was a book I designed, and it was in a library, and it was afgeschreven. So it was not. There was no people were borrowing the book, so they put it in discount. And he bought it because he thought it was kind of an insult for me. I think they understand. Maybe not on a very technical level, on a very cultural level, maybe even. It's about typography or book type, but I think they get it, yeah.
Are you making the books that you would want yourself? Are these the books that you sort out for if you go to a bookstore, for example?
Some of them, yes, probably. I think making a book is a very good way of reading a book. And some of it, I've learned a lot by making books. The reasons why I buy books are manifold. Sometimes I'm interested for the content. Sometimes interested for that I'm following a designer, and I'm just interested in that, or I'm interested in or time period or printing technique or so that I have too many reasons to buy books, and that's why I have tons of them. That's a problem. Yeah.
So you collect books then?
I think everybody who likes book collects. I don't know what's the difference between collecting. Yeah. I still think it's amazing that you can get a Wim Kaul catalog or the Stedelijk, for instance, and you get them for so little money. And so I buy a lot of secondhand books because I think it's so amazing that you're able to hold it.
So in your, I can imagine your life. I mean, you have your books.
Yeah.
And then all the books you collect. I mean, this is how you must need a lot of space. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, it's a lot of space. Yeah. Yeah. So
how many copies of your own books do you have? Like for each book, how many copies will you keep?
For each book, I try to keep 3 copies. So that's one for me and one for each of my daughters. So we put them in a separate box. They will be, I probably hate me because there will be several boxes now full of books that they have. But that's it. And we, and some for some we keep extra for. To give to friends or to trade or to
And your daughters are old enough to understand what you're doing.
They don't like books so much. So
really?
Yeah, skips a generation probably.
Well, I also wanted to ask you about your first graphic memory, but as you started being an architect, it doesn't really apply. My main curiosity is about if that was also like an analytical memory.
I think for my first pocket money, I bought books already. So it was books have always been there, whether it's like literature or non-fiction books on topics that I find interesting. I still have a kind of an atlas when I was 8 years old that I got, and that was one of my favorite books, or comic books like the Tintin, things like that. Yeah.
And your all-time favorite then, book or?
I have no. The thing, the titles that come to mind now are literature, but that's. I really like the non-linear literature, so that the Julian Barnes and David Mitchell kind of books. The Cloud Atlas or the History of the World in 9.5, 10.5 chapters, something like that, or Murakami. So that's I think fascinating kind of books. That's for me very. I like the books because they're very spatial. They feel very spatial because so many things are happening at the same time and connected. So I feel that's really architecture. That kind of those books.
Are there books that you've designed that you consider a failure? Like you have not achieved what you wanted to achieve? Like it ends and then you think, oh, this is.
Yeah,
You don't need to name the title, but what?
Thank God.
No worries.
It'll be a long list.
And what would that be? Like, what is it? What is it for you that doesn't make it successful?
There are 2 kinds of failure, so to say. There's one that if the collaboration with the author or the publisher didn't work out. So it's a failed product in that sense, because it's always about the collaboration, all the books. Or that the books that are maybe boring or not interesting enough. I think some designers you see if their books are not interesting, I'm thinking of some designers, I'm not going to name them, I think that the books come outrageous or over the top. In my case, books tend to become boring. If they don't work.
So you but that's and when I was also sorry, I'm asking 100. Well, that's, I guess that's our job, but because you also came out with your book. When do you decide? Yeah, then it's like now it's time. I will come out with my book. You have your monograph or
That was in 2010. I noticed with some designers that if you wait too long by making a book, then they say, oh, but then everything has to be in it. So I thought if I do it early, then I don't have to have everything in it. Or and I also, I'm somebody who counts a lot. I love to count things and to make lists. And I noticed that I had almost 100 books done, and I was working for 10 years. So I thought that's kind of a nice almost like a year report of those the first 10 years. And I like year reports because you have to work with data from the past, but actually a year report is about the future. It's about what you want to do with your company in the future. So it's all the... And I think this tension was interesting too. How can you make a book about almost like a manifesto, you could say, if you want to give the big word, with data from the past? So that's what we did. We made a book, and the title of the book is "I Swear I Use No Art at All," and the subtitle is 10 Years, 100 Books, 18,000 something pages of book design."
And do you ever fear that you might get bored, like if you do it so that you're over saturated? It's like, you know, when you eat too much, I don't know if you eat chocolate cake, but you eat too much.
I eat chocolate, yeah.
You know, when you have so much chocolate that you can get sick of it, you overdose in a way.
Yeah, that is true, but unlike chocolate, if you ever make a book, the world around you is changing and technology is changing. And I think I try to do with every book I make is also a reflection on the time I live in. So if I make an atlas, is it much about Google Earth, or it's much about satellite photography, or it's much about print or colors or typefaces, as it is about the topic I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And as this time is constantly changing, there's always something. So if I would have to revisit all the books that I've done before, I wouldn't find it boring for one bit, because as the context is so much changing, I can make new things. They will look different.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious. Like, yeah. How do you keep yourself
appetite?
Appetite, and also sharp. You know, not to fall into similar patterns.
That's a different thing, and if you look at the dictionary, it's such a long process, and we often do books that we work on for years. How do you stay hungry?
Yeah.
And that's why. And I often say to my collaborators, now we should stop. You're inclined to just go on and make it and to completely solve the riddle or the puzzle, and at some point you say, okay, this is it, and now it's interesting to revisit again. So it's as much about designing the design process as it is about the project that you make.
And is that a gut feeling that you have, that you say design, or like, okay, this is the time to sort of reflect and turn back?
I think it's something that it's an analysis or analytical or intuition that I developed over time.
Of course.
So it's become a gut feeling.
But that's all like a gut feeling, but based on analysis, probably. That would be a good sort of way of describing things for you.
Yeah. So that happens a lot.
Is there like a project you see at the moment which you would really like to do, a sort of a book project or another project which you really thought about, like, oh, I would love to sink my teeth in that?
Well, I'm interested in the dying book typologies, like the dictionary and the atlas. So I'm interested in that sense.
So you missed the yellow pages.
I would love to do a telephone book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or an encyclopedia, or... For that matter, I would love to do the Dutch school books for education. The Bos Atlas, for instance, I would.
Yeah. Last question?
Last question.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I don't want to be remembered. Yeah, just if the books are there, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio. Type Radio. Now we're talking.